God is only here inside of us, His people. He's restricted Himself to live inside of us and move through us. You are God's conduit. You are His vessel. And He desires to be poured out on others through you. The more you pour out, the more He'll pour in. We came back from South Carolina. We got poured into in South Carolina. Got beat up a little bit too, but we got poured into in South Carolina. And as soon as you'd walk out of this in pouring, anointing fire, you'd just be you again. You didn't feel it. You didn't sense it. Until that fire is ready to touch someone. And then when you reach out to what He's saying to do, whew, there it is. There it is. You don't have to feel it all the time. You don't need to feel it all the time. You're supposed to live by faith. But He has put deposits in you. And you will never truly experience Him in fullness unless you let Him flow through you to someone else. Because God is a lover. He's a lover. He likes to love. If you don't let Him love through you, you aren't experiencing Him. He wants to love on you. But you can only take so much. You have to let it flow to get some more. God showed me something on this trip. You know, I think today is going to be mixed because I've got like a stack of journals of the stuff He's given me. And then I asked Him, which one? He said, I don't even worry about them. So I come with nothing prepared. But I think what He's going to do is He's just going to flow through testimonies, through worship, through all of us at different times. So when God moves in you to share, please share. Whether it's a little tune, this little light of mine, that was awesome. Or a word, or the repentance that you've been, God has been taking us to the depth of repentance. And it hurts so good. It's awesome. It's awesome. Freedom. And He showed me a vision this morning of a person in a jail cell. And the door to the jail cell was locked, but the window was wide open. So the person didn't even attempt to go out the door. They're climbing out the window to get out of jail, and there's nowhere to go. And that's why the window was open. There was nowhere to go out that window, but fall, you know, hundreds of yards and die. So they had to come back into the jail cell. And God said, they have the key. The key is inside the jail cell. All they have to do is unlock the door. But the key was facing things they didn't want to face. Facing what they didn't want to face. Because the demons that have locked us in those jail cells have us in a darkness of deception. Self-abuse. Horrible lies, and we don't want to face them. But if we face them, the lights come on, and we can find the key. And we can turn the door by key and just walk out into freedom. It's scary in the darkness, but when the lights come on, truth can set us free. I want to share one thing God's been working in me. Even before we start, because I want you to have some freedom so you can really worship. One thing God has been unlayering in me, rewind a little bit. God told me 20-some years ago that He, in the day of power, He said to me I've been saved 40-some years, and God always comes and says, in the day of power, well, we're getting really close to that day He's been talking about. In the day of power, there's going to be youth renewal and death defeated. People are going to quit dying if they're walking with me because I'm life. People are going to get made younger. I'm going to undo what the devil did, and I'm going to give them back their youth. And He told me, for me, He was going to make me 20. When I was 20, I weighed 120. And perfect vision is 20-20. So He said, for me, it's going to be 20-20-20. I said, oh, God, I hope I don't have to wait till I'm like 60, 61 this year. But last week or so, He said, I'm going to give you the first 10 years off your life as you repent of insecurity. I will undo what insecurity has done to you. Wow. I said, that's cool. I repented of insecurity. And he said, that's a good choice. Now let's walk it out. Because we have to unlayer all the lies of insecurity in your life. As he's been unlayering those lies, you know, when you are controlled by an evil spirit, you're blinded by it too. But as your eyes begin to open to it, you can see it on other people. And I've come to realize almost everyone has insecurity. The extremely arrogant person is insecure. They exalt themselves high because they have to feel good about themselves. They want you to think, I'm smarter than you, I know more than you, I'm more spiritual than you. Let me do everything, let me control everything, because that makes them feel good. That's insecurity. We cower back and don't do anything because we're not good enough. We don't compare. What will people think of me? Insecurity. So I've been going deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper with this insecurity thing and getting more and more and more freedom. Well, I'm not 10 years younger yet, so I think I've got some more layers to go. But that's a good one. If you want to say, God, show me my insecurity and how it's lied to me. Every time he goes to another layer, he says, you have held this belief system because of insecurity. Because of the lies of insecurity, you accepted this belief and this lie. And you functioned your whole life from there. When I was little, I had a lot of abuse. I was molested at 2 years old. I was an unwanted pregnancy. I was the baby and not wanted in the family. My parents fought over who got stuck with me. My dad left. My mom got stuck. I had an older sister and brother from a different marriage. So I believed that if I were very quiet, if I never cried, if I never did anything bad, maybe they would let me live there. But I always feared. I ran home from school because I literally thought they would move before I got there so I wouldn't know where they went. So I was very insecure. And you know, being a baby, older brothers and sisters, every time you try to exalt yourself, they say, you are so stupid. You know, so I had that going on, being the baby. Everything I say is really dumb. Well, I'm almost competing with Tammy Faye Baker in makeup, you know, trying to hide the fact that I have white eyelashes, white eyebrows, white, white, white. I think I'm, you know, except for the pink eyes, I'm almost albino. So I thought of myself as a child. I don't have any personality. I don't have any talent. I don't even have a face. I'm just like a big, blank nothing. And I have no reason anyone would like me. And I had a sad life, you know. So I saw in movies at that time when I was young, there were movies about people that went through horrible things and were very sad. And everybody paid attention to them. They were like the whole focus of the movie. Everybody felt sorry for them. And I thought, well, that's attention, you know. I got a lot of sad stories. I'll just be sad. I'll just be the really sad story. And everybody can feel sorry for me. And at least I'm getting attention, you know. Yet I think I got chicken pox one time. And my mom gave me Werner's and ice cream. I laid in bed all day and watched TV. And I went, this works, you know. Sickness is a good way for attention. So I took on a lot of negativity, and I took on a sad spirit. I didn't know I took on a sad spirit. I wasn't even saved. I didn't know there were spirits. But we were in South Carolina, and we are just wide open. God, we want everything you've got. Until the speaker went, ha, 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 ha. Shut down. There he goes with that fake laughter stuff, trying to make me laugh. And I'm not going to let anybody make me laugh. You know, God wants to make me laugh. He can do it. So my daughter's like, Mom, you got a problem. I don't have a problem. But for years, I mean, I got holy laughter 2 times directly from God, so I knew what it was. But I go to these meetings, and these preachers come up, put their hand on your belly, and go, ho, 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 laugh. And I'm going, there's nothing funny. And you're just trying to make me laugh. They go, you have a religious spirit. I do not have a religious spirit. And I don't have a problem. But I get home from the meeting, and God says, you have a problem with laughter. And it's because you have a spirit of sadness in you. And I went, I laugh. I love funny movies. He said, that's not spiritual laughter. That's not the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. Yet, sad spirit, every time I want to touch your spiritual joy, that spirit says, you're not going to make her laugh. I can't even make you laugh, he said. So I went to repent of the spirit of sadness, and I said, how did this happen? Oh, insecurity lied to you by telling you you had no other thing that could get attention in you. Oh, man. Now I had to go back with all these lies of insecurity again. Insecurity will make you criticize other people so you can feel better about you. There are two things going on at the throne of God every minute, every day. There are two ministries going on at the very face of God every minute, every day. One is intercession. The other is criticism. Which ministry team are you on? Satan fell from heaven and he has no right to go to the throne of God. He's the accuser. He's the accuser. He can't go to the throne of God unless you take him. So the Holy Spirit will bring us before the throne of God in intercession for what we see in others. Or the devil will bring you to the throne of God with accusation for what you see in others. We need to never be the transport of the enemy. I felt I needed to share that because we all want to criticize. We want to criticize churches and leaders, and sometimes we're a little nicer to people if they're right where we're at because we know we're sinners. But if they're up in leadership or it's a church, I can't believe that they're serving God like that, you know. So there it comes. Worship has to be real. And you're all different. So you can't just be a copycat. You have to be you. If you want to go and look out that window and praise God he made grass and just stand there and talk to him about how beautiful that tree is, that's your worship. If you want to run around this room at the speed of lightning, do it. If you want to lay on the floor and weep, do it. I don't care what the worship leader is singing. If it matches what's in you, join him. If it doesn't, make up your own words. I drive my daughter crazy making up my own words because I can't ever remember anybody else's. So I make up my own words to everything. But that's my worship. I was in a meeting where they're just bum, 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 bum. And I'm going, bum, bum, bum. Because that was my speed that day. Please be free. Please worship from who you are and what you really are feeling with God today. And please do not criticize what anyone else is doing, so that we don't grieve the Spirit of God. This room filled with angels yesterday. It filled with angels yesterday. I think they're still here. Let's not run them off. Yes. And with that, there is no ladies' meeting tonight. Leadership meeting Tuesday night. All of the emails of Harvey and Bill and Israel will soon be on the website as soon as Cecil can get them there. So I'm going to give it over to Wayne because he's going to start us this morning. Wait, 1 second. One more testimony. Lois. I have Lois' testimony first. I have not handed out any ministry badges. We want to keep you safe. We do not automatically badge anyone anymore. Last time I was here, I didn't get a badge. So as the Spirit leads, we will hand badges. Please only be prayed for by someone in a badge and then with a partner.
Hello. God, I just ask that you would have me say what you want me to say. That I would not say anything you do not want me to say. I just ask that through this testimony, you would be glorified. This is a testimony about hearing God's voice and His faithfulness. 20 years ago, I had my fifth child. And after I had her, God said to me, I am going to give you a sixth child, and it will be a girl. my health crashed. I had to have surgery, so I could not have any more children. We were poor. We could not adopt. I already had a house full. I had no room for foster care. And I thought, well, I think I just missed your voice, God. He said, no, you did not miss my voice. You're going to get this child in late life. So I'm thinking, okay, late 30s, early 40s, I don't know. I don't know how you'll do it, but I think that's what you're saying to me. Well, circumstances rolled around when I turned 40, and I was in a situation living in absolute ghetto shack with an alcoholic for most of my 40s. And I said, boy, God, I really missed your voice. You are not going to give me a sixth child. There's no way this is going to happen. And whether it's a girl or a boy is beside the point. But I'm really sorry that I've held on to this vision this long. And I'm sorry that I didn't hear you right. And I just laid the dream down and let it die. Well, recently, God gave me a sixth child. And I'm 49. It's late life. And she's a girl. And he was faithful to do what he told me 20 years ago. And I didn't miss his voice. And in spite of me being in sin, living with that alcoholic, in spite of everything, he still arranged it that he could fulfill his word in my life. In spite of me. And this girl is Gary's daughter, and she is amazing. She has such a sweet spirit. And she needs Jesus so bad. And before we went to go meet her in Ohio, which we just recently did this weekend, Sue said, I am going to pray that the Spirit of God, the mother, will be on you toward this girl. And he was. He was all over me with this child. And she was just soaking it up and receiving it. And she didn't even know me. And she said, I love you. She loved the God that was in me that was pouring out. Praise you, Jesus, for your love for other people. Praise you, Jesus, for your love for us. Praise you for letting us find Misty. God, help Misty to find you. You know exactly where she's at. God, bring her. Bring her up here, God. She needs you so badly, just as I do. Thank you, Jesus, for fulfilling your word in my life. And help me to trust when I hear your voice. No matter how long that promise takes, you will do it. Because you are faithful. You are faithful. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
We take the kids. We're going to let the kids go. They have something special today. They'll be worshiping in the kids' room.
Well, good morning, people. And God is good all the time. You know, and He loves you for where you're at anytime you want to be there. Hear me? God loves you, man. And you just have to look at Him and follow the things that He wants you to do in your life to make things better, you know? Better, you know? And God is so good, man. He's loving, you know? He loves you all the time, man. And, you know, if you pray, like I do a lot, you know? But you seek God, and then God seeks you. You got to give to get. If you don't give, then what are you going to get? You're going to get the world. You're going to get life. And then you have troubles and strikes. And then what? You know? But with God, you got peace. You got love. And that's it, man. And God loves you. And He'll always love you. And I'm thankful that this ministry's here. I love this place. I love being here. I love being with the people that I know. And fellowship. You hear me? Companionship. Friendship. That's what life's about. You know? And let's just take it. Don't take it for granted. But give to get. Okay? And I love you all. And God is good. All the time.
I think there's somebody else that God. I think there's a lot of other people that God wants to come up here and share something, but I think there's another song that God had somebody prepare that should probably start us out. If you feel like that's you, then come on up.
I'm filling up my oil lamp. I'm filling up my oil lamp. That there might be light enough. That there might be light enough. To come unto the bridegroom. To come unto the bridegroom. In the watches. In the watches of the night. I am trimming my lamp. I am trimming my lamp. I'm going to the wedding feast of the Lamb. I am trimming my lamp. I am trimming my lamp. I'm going to the wedding feast of the Lamb. My long-awaited friend, there is room in And I have known you, yes I know you. Come in, come in, my long awaited friend. There is room enough, and yes I know you, I have known you. I'm filling up my oil lamp, I'm filling up my oil lamp, that there might be light enough, that there might be light enough, to come unto the bridegroom, to come unto the bridegroom. In the watches, in the watches of the night. Sing that with me one more time. Filling up my oil lamp, I'm filling up my oil lamp, that there might be light enough, that there might be light enough, to come unto the bridegroom, to come unto the bridegroom. In the watches, in the watches, I am trimming my lamp. I am trimming my lamp. I am trimming my lamp. I'm going to the wedding feast of the Lamb. I am trimming my lamp. I am trimming my lamp. I'm going to the wedding feast of the Lamb. Don't close the door. Don't close the door. I am running. I am trimming my lamp. I am trimming my lamp. I'm going to the wedding feast of the Lamb. I am trimming my lamp. I am trimming my lamp. Going to the wedding feast of the Lamb. Don't close the door. I am running. There is no other friend like you, O Lord. No other brother, no other sister like you. There is no other love. There is no other love like you, O Lord. No other sweeter, no other fountain but you. There is no other friend. There is no other friend like you, O Lord. No other brother, no other sister like you. There is no other love. There is no other love like you, O Lord. other sweeter, no other fountain but you. How long until I'm satisfied? I must have more of you. For I was born in Zion. Awaken, love is crying out for you, and it must be you. And if I'm healed by just one touch of your garment, Lord, then how much more love is for me than I'm tasting, Lord. Draw me, take me, and I will run. Over the mountains and down into the valley, I will run with you. Oh, all my fountains are in you. Oh, all my fountains are in you.
Going to lay his hands on us.
begging him for my knees. I want my legs. I want to dance. Beg him, tell him, ask him where you need him to touch you.
Just one touch of your garment, Lord. Then how much more of your love is for me than I'm tasting, Lord. Touch me and draw me. I will run over the mountains and down into the valleys. I will run with you. I will run with you. Oh, all my fountains are in you. You're the fountain of life, oh God. Oh, all my fountains are in you.
all who are thirsty, all who are weak, come to the fountain, dip your heart in the stream of life, let the pain and the sorrow washed away in the waves of your mercy as deep cries out to thee and we sing, come Lord Jesus, come.
Come, Lord Jesus. God, we choose to empty our hearts of everything but you. We choose to empty our hearts of everything but you. And we choose to open ourselves to you so that you can come and pour your love into us. 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 God, we choose to receive. We receive your love. We receive your love. Yes, we receive your love. Yes, we receive your love. Yes, we receive your love. The only source of our strength, the only source of our salvation, God. You are the only source of our hope, only source of our strength, only source of our salvation. Lord, you will release us. You will bring freedom, oh God. You will bring freedom, oh God.
Your word is a lamp to my feet.
Jesus, I love you. I love you. Jesus, I love you. I love you. Seek your first, Lord. You will hear our voices early in the morning and late in the night. We will sing your praises, giving you the glory, offering our lives to you, a holy sacrifice. We will seek you first, Lord. You will hear our voices early in the morning and late in the night. We will sing your praises, giving you the glory, offering our lives to you, a holy sacrifice.
Let our worship be a fragrance.
Yet you have never met Jesus yet. You haven't met him yet. So you can't praise him because you don't know him. We praise him because he found us in the depths of the rotten, horrible sin that we were living in, the darkness, the deception, the woundedness of our sin. The wages of sin is death. We should have all died and never entered his heaven. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He took your sins on himself. Holy God came down and he took your sins on himself. He loved you when you didn't love him. He loved you when you rejected him. He loved you when you didn't care who he was. He sought you. He took all of your sin. He took it on his own holy body
His own sinless body. And he took it to the cross. And he took your death. He took your stripes. He took your punishment. He took your sickness. He took your affliction. He experienced your pain and your abuse. He took it all. He took it all. He took it all. And he took it to the cross. And he suffered and he died in your place. And then he rose again. And he reached out his arms and he said, come unto me. Come unto me. Come unto me. I will give you mercy. I will forgive your sin. I will give you life. I am life. I will live in you. And you can live forever with me. Will you come? Have you come? Will 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 you come? My husband says Jesus' favorite word is come. Come. His arms are open and he said come. When he stood over Jerusalem, and he wept because they did not know the day of their visitation. If his spirit is moving in you right now, if you're being drawn by the power of his spirit right now, do not resist him. Come. Come. This red drape is just a piece of material, but it represents his blood. Nothing but the blood. Holy, pure, sinless blood. Can be accepted as a payment for our sin when you make his soul an offering for your sin. God is satisfied. The blood of Jesus spilt for you. Bring all your sins this morning and put them in his blood. Receive him, want him, accept him. Will you come?
God in heaven, and here am I on earth. So I let my words be few. Jesus, you are God in heaven, and here am I on earth. So I let my words be few. Jesus, I am so in with you. Oh, I'll stand in awe of you. Yes, I'll stand in awe. My words be few. Jesus, I am so in love with you. simplest of all love songs, I want to sing to you. So I let my words be few. Jesus, I am so in love with you.
How good and pleasant is it when brothers live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down the hair, down upon the collar of his coat. It is just the dew of Hermon falling on Mount Zion, where there the Lord bestows his blessing in life forever.
Was looking at the place where people have come and prayed and worshiped, and he's pleased. It's like, what a beautiful sight. What a beautiful sight. I think sometimes after we leave, he just walks around the building and he looks what we would call the mess we left behind, and he says, what a beautiful sight. What a beautiful sight. The Lord is well pleased. He's well pleased today with our worship. I think it's just the only thing left to do is see if anyone has something they want to say. Anyone want to share what God did today or anything? Come on. Open mic.
Dear Lord, I just praise you and thank you for today. Each and every day that I open my eyes, Lord, that you give me breath. Well, the Lord's been dealing with me a lot. I keep on saying I'm an onion and I'm getting delayered, and I'm not sure what the biggest and the most layered onion is, but that's me. And several times this week, what I thought were needs, the Lord was bringing to, well, I thought the Lord was bringing to him, and he was asking me to pray about them, and I was already trying to solve them. So I just want to stand here and repent of doing it my way, of trying to do it my way. And Lord, I want to do it your way. So I ask your forgiveness. And Lord, I just ask you to work in my heart to know when you want me to speak, even when you want me to think about before I speak, Lord. Because I have that problem. And I don't want it anymore, Lord. So, Lord, I'd ask you to work in me, to humble me, to bring me to the end of myself. And let me not speak before it's you. Let me not move, not open my eyes, unless I'm focused on you. And I would just ask that everybody here, preferably not all at once, but during the week, if they see that, bring it to my attention. Because I don't want that living in me. And I just thank you for the opportunity to come before God in you and repent. I never did that before. I always kept everything inside. But I am open now, Lord. You've opened me up. So I just ask the congregation for the forgiveness that what may come out of me that might not be God. But I want it out at no cost. At any price. So Lord, work in me. Show me. And have people that love you and love me bring it to my attention when it need be, Lord. No holds barred. Thank you, Jesus. And I just ask this for each and every one that's in here today that would seek the same prayer, the same honesty, the same openness, is that what we can give only, get only from God and no one else. So we need to empty ourselves with everything that's not of God and just get filled up with high premium, high test from heaven. And then spew it on to out to everybody that's a hungry little bird, Lord. And that's what we want, Lord. We want your way, not our way. And Lord, I just see you dancing and smiling as Sue was talking and everybody came forth. And Lord, I just felt that it was truly, truly anointed here today. And that the hearts of people, it was like they were being opened up like a book. And that's through praise and glory towards you, Lord, and repentance. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for never leaving us where we're at, for loving us 100% where we're at. But you just keep on waiting for us to turn towards you, because you are the way. You are the truth, and it will set us free. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Some of us older folk may remember a game called Pac-Man. Remember that? With a little guy come up and ate all this stuff? You got me thinking about repentance and how that game resembles my life sometimes, where that God will direct me in a way and I'll eat up all the obstacles and the stumbling blocks. And if I charge right out there, even though I see the devil coming, you know, I'll charge right out there and the devil will do away right. So if I hesitate and wait on the Lord, then I can avoid him. And God will protect me. To win the game, I got to do away with all the obstacles and stumbling blocks. But without him, when I charge out there on my own, I get ate up every time. So I was just thinking about that, you know.
As my wife Lois was testifying earlier about her trip to Ohio to meet my daughter, I thought it was pretty awesome that even though I cared about nothing but drugs and alcohol for like 30 plus years, that she had the mercy and grace enough in her heart to say, I just want you to be my dad. You know, I still love you.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
It's kind of awesome how, you know, I can see God in her, but she can't see God in her. And, you know, it's my prayer that, you know, that she will come to know the Lord. And, you know, I think Duke and Lois was a very big inspiration. I thank God for her every day. Without her, I would probably be back out on the street doing the same stupid stuff I was doing for a long time. She's been just such a blessing in my life. And God just answers our prayers. And he answered two prayers, actually, in one action, gave her the daughter that she always wanted and restored my daughter to me. And, you know, that's pretty amazing. But on her trip down to Ohio, we kind of noticed the difference in the landscape and stuff, you know, and it's so different from what you see up here in Michigan. And we got down there and it's like all flat, you know, you can see for miles and stuff. And the landscape itself is kind of plain, so you tend to notice the sky a little bit more. And just before the fireworks down there, we were sitting there waiting for them to start, and it was getting dark, and I looked off in the distance, and I told Lois, I was like, wow, look at the sky over there. My favorite color is purple. And the whole sky in this one area was just like this really deep color of purple, and it kind of went into a blue, and I was really awed by that. And then on our way back, when we finally got back into Michigan, I said, you never really noticed it before, but the trees and the foliage up here in Michigan is so beautiful, you know, you're like surrounded by it. The whole expressway, you know, the whole way back is just like trees, luscious green. And I was kind of, you know, really awed by that too. And being 4th of July, when Patty's on her way to the door, she says, are you going to say something patriotic today? And it just hit me, you know, it's like, why did I think of that? You know, and because of that trip and all the stuff that I seen, you know, all of God's creation, you know, how beautiful it was, I'd like to sing America the Beautiful. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed
to form us to be a witness to the world about Him, to be a home to bring the Hebrew people here. And as America has stumbled right now, but if you look at the prophets and what we call the Old Testament, every time Israel fell, He brought chastisement, He brought, gave them leaders that was evil, and He used different things to restore that nation. Right now, the leader we got and the leadership we got is waking people up in this nation of ours.
Yes,
and there's, I can't tell you where the verse is found, but it says in Scripture that all things work together for good for them who love the Lord. Obama, what he's doing, looks evil. And God used it for His good to bring this nation to its knees.
Yeah, that's right.
To humble us.
Yes.
To bring us back to the Scriptures.
That's right.
And, I mean, what we are doing here right now is what some people says is we're breaking the Constitution. But nowhere in our Constitution does it read temporary change of things. It reads that the state shall make no laws prohibiting the free access of religion.
Amen.
But, of course, Satan wants to destroy this country because we've been used by the Almighty for a lot of years. And he's having a party right now. He thinks America's on its way down. I think America's going to turn around and come back.
Yes.
Which, God's got everything in control. He knows which way we're going to fall or we're going to stand. But I will pray for our country. Father, America needs you so bad.
Yes, Lord.
Yes.
We've outlawed your word. We've asked you to leave us. We don't want no part of you, but there's a handful spread throughout this whole nation, Father, that's pleading and crying, asking you for blessings and for help to turn us back to your truth. I know I have my problems with President Obama. He's being used by Satan, but I want to say that you say in your word that you have the heart of the king in your hand.
Yeah. Yes.
Take his heart and squeeze it, Father. Squeeze it tight.
Turn the
evilness that this country's trying to push on us, Father. Take it and turn it around and make it good.
Yes, Father.
Yes.
Bring the good back to this nation.
Yes, Lord.
Yes.
But the only true good comes through your Son, the Lord Jesus.
That's right.
As the people in this country have seen the evil, use that evil to bring the people to Jesus, the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Without your Son, we can't do anything. I ask this in the blessed name of the Lord, Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Amen.